Amen. All right. Get myself a little set up here. We're going. All right. So, double portion, Achrimot and Keshodim, Leviticus 16:1 through 20:27. And this week's portion actually has one of my favorite pieces of scripture in it. Spoke a little bit about it during the drash over the Torah portion. It's one of my favorite pieces of scripture, and it gets echoed in 1 Peter, which perhaps is why 1 Peter is one of my favorite books as well. And it reminds me, it doesn't tell me that I do this very well, but it reminds me at least that I need to do better. So let's read Leviticus 19, 1 through 3 together. Well, I'll read it out. Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregations of Bnei Israel and tell them, 'You shall be Keshodim, you shall be holy, for I, Adonai, your God, am holy. Each one of you is to respect his mother and his father and keep my Shabbat. I am Adonai, your God.'" Now, it may be strange at first to put together being holy, honoring your parents, and Shabbat, all in basically one sentence. Three separate ideas that seem to come together in one sentence. We all honor Adonai as our Father. And the Shabbat is holy, all just to show that he's holy and that we try to be holy with him. And we're told to be holy because he's holy, because it's the only way that we can maintain relationship with him. If we're unholy, there's no way we can get close to a holy God. We're told this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We're called to be holy, and all of Scripture really is about how to be holy. How to have that close relationship with him. See, as a chosen people, we're not automatically given full rights of that royal priesthood that it speaks about, of that holy nation, but we have to walk it out in our lives. It just doesn't come automatically no matter what we do. We have to live it out. We have to be the holy people so that we can be with him. He chooses, but then the chosen must also choose to be in agreement with him so that we can be right alongside of him. Adonai shows us this example through Abraham's life. As we look at Abraham's life, we see that first there was an establishment of Abraham's faith. That's the reason that we're told about Abraham, the reason so many details of his life are given right from the very start, before he even leaves his father's household. It's for our sake, so that we can grow just like Abraham grew. And honestly, everyone looks at Father Abraham and says, "Wow, the patriarch." But we can be just like him. We really can be if we grow in our holiness, just like he grew in his holiness. Abraham was chosen by Adonai while he was still with his earthly father and still with his family. And the blessings didn't start for him until he left his father, left his homeland, the area that his father settled in. That's when the blessing started. And I know that if he didn't leave his father, he would not have been blessed. Doesn't mean that Israel would not have been created, saved, and where it is today. Just like it says in the book of Esther, who knows, but for you were called. But if not you, then someone else. It was the same with Abraham. Hey, it's the same with you and me. If we aren't doing what he wants to be done, he'll find someone else to do it. He will get the glory at the end, regardless. So Israel would have had the same story. It would have been slightly different, different names. But it's Abraham who showed himself to be holy. Abraham who showed himself to be trusting in Adonai. And that trust is what made Abraham righteous. It's through this righteousness that we have our shalom as well, our peace with Adonai that only comes through our faith. With Adonai that only comes through our trust in the blood that was sent through Messiah Yeshua. Once we're holy and walking in right relationship with him, then we can truly do great things for him. Then we can do what he instructs us to do in Matthew 28, that great commission. We're called to a holiness and righteousness so that we can walk out that great commission. That's found in Matthew 28, 18. It says this, "And Yeshua came up to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Ruach HaKodesh. Teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, last week, I spoke about inclusiveness of the phrase in Hebrews, once for all. And again, in the final words of Yeshua, as he's about to be lifted up into the heavens, we see inclusiveness by saying, teach all the nations. It's not accidental. In fact, we see the word all used three times in just these couple of verses. The first time was to say that all authority was given him. The second time it says all nations are to be made disciples. And the third says that all scripture is to be observed, just as he taught. All scripture. So we see at the end of the verse that Yeshua says to teach them, observing all I've commanded. What would it be that he was commanding them? He was commanding them Torah. He was commanding them the instructions on how to be holy and how to have relationship with Adonai, with the Lord. The teaching of Yeshua, if taken just from the New Covenant writings, would be a good thing. Although, it would have been without foundation. It would be a bit incomplete. It'd be harder to understand without the understanding, or at least some understanding, of the Old Covenant. Each time Yeshua refers back, you know, you've heard Yeshua say, I have told you, you've heard it said, you've heard, seen it written. What's he saying? Look in the Old Covenant and look what it says. I've quoted the Old Covenant. Hear what I've said in the past. Specifically Torah he's talking about most of the time. Prophets he's talking about. He's quoted Isaiah multiple times. If he's quoting Isaiah, shouldn't we know it? So that we can understand why he's quoting it? Because in Judaism, the way they taught then was You quote a little bit, but you were supposed to know the whole chapter it came from. If he's quoting a little, he's referring to a lot. So you have to know in order to know what he's talking about. Today, many people want to take things out of context. And that's what teaching, believing in using just the new covenant is. It really is for many times taking out of context. How many times does Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, quote the new covenant, the old covenant? And what do you do if you say, well, Paul says this, and only say the three or four words that he spoke, when in reality, he's talking about a whole paragraph. He's talking about a whole chapter, perhaps even a whole book. And if we don't know that, we lose a lot of his meaning. So if we're going to be a holy and righteous nation, if we're going to be in right relationship with Adonai, it would be beneficial to know the difference between holiness and righteousness. Because that's what all of Old Covenant is trying to get us into. That's what the New Covenant's trying to get us into. Right relationship and holiness. Is there really a difference? It's used for many people. It's used interchangeably. I'm righteous, I'm holy. They use it interchangeably as if they're the same thing. And for many times it is. In fact, as I was doing this study, I've seen commentators, one commentator say, this is holiness and this is righteousness. And then the other person says, just the opposite. No, no. What he said was holiness is righteousness. What he says righteousness is really holiness. They're so close together, you almost can swap them out. But I have a definition. I think they're different. And I'm going to share with you what I have. Because although they're similar, they're a little different. Now, if you continue to flip-flop them around, I'm not going to argue with you. But let me share with you my definitions of holiness and righteousness. Where would the best place to start be? In Scripture, right? Scripture is always the best place to start. So in Scripture, we see that Noah was the first to be called righteous. And then a description of righteousness is given. So Genesis 6:9. These are the genealogies of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless among the generations. Noah continually walked with God. We see that Noah was righteousness. It says it straight out. Bang, there it is. Then we get what it means to be righteous. He was blameless. And then we see why he was blameless. And why he was righteous? Because he continually walked with God. He continually did what God wanted him to do. That's what made him righteous. Now, another place in Scripture that we see righteousness and holiness is at the start of Psalms 1. So Psalms 1:1 says this, happy is the one who has not walked in the advice of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the Torah of Adonai, and on his Torah he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted over streams of water, producing its fruit during its season. Its leaf never drops, but in all he does, he succeeds. In being in a relationship with Adonai is being happy, right? I think we can all agree with that. The definition of being happy is being in relationship with Adonai. Then the one who's walking out Torah correctly is the happy one. Using this scripture as an example, then, being holy is acting out the laws, while the act of being right relationship by walking them out is righteousness. So that sounds a little confusing. Being holy is walking out the instruction. Being righteous is the relationship you get from being holy, walking out the instructions. So let's expand on that by taking a brief moment and separating them first. So let's take righteousness first. And let's go back to Abraham. Because Abraham in Genesis 15:6 says this about Abraham. Then he believed in Adonai, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Faith in Adonai is that first and most important step in righteousness. Because how and why could you follow the laws of Adonai if you don't have faith in the one who gives them? The first way that Abraham showed his righteousness was not the actions that he did or the laws that he followed, but by the faith that he had in Adonai. How did Adonai know Abraham's faith? Well, because he knows each of us in our hearts and our thoughts, even before we have them ourselves. So he knew Abraham's heart. He knows our hearts as well. Now, being holy, as we've said many times in the past, is being set apart for God. Being set apart is an action. If we have a pile of rocks and we want to set apart some of them that look different, that means taking them and moving them to a different pile. That's being set apart. It's the action. It's the physical action of moving them. Having my thoughts that I want to set apart the rocks doesn't make those rocks set apart, right? It takes a physical action to move them. So it's the action that makes them apart from the rest. Being holy is doing, not just thinking, not just knowing. Being holy is doing what Adonai wants us to do. Being holy is the act of moving us away from the rest of the world. Now notice I didn't say it removes us from the world, but it moves us a little bit away from him, closer to Adonai, so that we're not influenced by the world, but close enough so that we can be influencers to the world. Because how would the world come to salvation if they don't see us, if they don't hear our words, if they don't know what we stand for? So we're never totally taken out of the world physically until the end. Now let me bring them back together again. We're in a relationship by the actions that come out of our relationship. To say it in other words, inserted for clarity, we're in a relationship, that's our righteousness, by the actions that come out of our relationship. That's acting holy. And we're given this in Titus, which is then finished with the next step for us. There's actually another step there. Titus 2:11 says this: For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, training us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live in a manner that is self-controlled and righteous and godly in the present age. So there are three things in that verse which include that very important next step. Based on the final part of that scripture, we're to be trained to be self-controlled, which is denying ungodliness and worldly desires, which is the definition of living holy. Not living like them. Denying that ungodliness. Denying those worldly desires. Remember at the beginning I said I like to be holy because I am holy, not because I do it so well, because it reminds me what I need to do. These are the things I need to do. I need to continually be self-controlled. I need to continually deny ungodliness. I need to continually deny and stop the worldly desires from entering into my flesh. That's the definition of living holy. If I can do those things, I'm living holy. You can do those things, you're living holy. Then there's the living righteous lives, which is being in a right relationship with Adonai, which is faith in Him. And the third is living godly, which really combines the two. Living holy, living in a right relationship with Adonai. And this is further clarified by James in his second chapter. So starting in verse 14, which asks a very important question about holiness and righteousness. James 2:14 says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can such faith save him?" So to put that in slightly different terms, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has righteousness but doesn't have holiness? Can such righteousness save him? That's his question. His question really is about holiness and righteousness. And he explains himself and what faith and actions are, that they are righteousness and holiness. So let's go down and read a big section in James 2, starting in 18. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you faith by my works." Remembering to substitute those words, faith is righteousness, works is holiness. Faith is trusting God. Works is the work of holiness. Verse 19, "You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But you do not want to know, you empty person, that faith without works is dead. Wasn't Abraham our father proved righteous by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith worked together with his works, and by the works his faith was made complete. The scripture was fulfilled that says, 'And Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.' You see that a man is proved righteous by works and not faith alone." This is why you really can tell where a man is. Not just by his saying. You know, a man can say as much as he wants, "I'm righteous." But from the outside, you really can't tell his heart's attitude, right? If he says he's righteous, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. God knows, I don't know. But now you look at his acts, his actions. Now you can start seeing, is he holy? Is he living a holy life? Is he doing things that are worldly or separated from the world? Worldly, unholy, separated from the world, holy. Now we can start saying we know a little bit about this guy. Because you really can't be righteous and unholy at the same time. It doesn't work that way. It's not enough to know Torah, but living it out is what counts. And righteousness is having that relationship with Adonai. But how can you have a relationship with him if you're not living out his commandments? If you're not living out a holy life, if you're not living out his instructions, living out his instructions means that we're living the way he wants us to live so that we can be close to him. This is why we're told in our opening scripture today, be holy because he is holy. There's only one way to be close to him. To say that we're with him without maintaining holiness is like saying we're together here at Karen Moore, but one is in the sanctuary and one is out in the parking lot. you're really not together. You can't see each other. You can't hear each other. You can't know each other. You can't have a relationship with each other when one's out there and one's in here. That's the way it is with holiness as well. Having a holy lifestyle will facilitate being righteous. Being righteous is having right relationship with Him. Now, there are those who say that a full measure of righteousness was given at the time of salvation. Speaking of justification, and it's true. At the time of salvation, all your past sins are justified and cleansed, and they no longer count. But it's up to you on how you live in the future. That's sanctification, how you walk out your life. All those sins in the past don't count. All those sins in the future, they count for something. They can be cleansed by the blood too when you approach Him, when you confess your sins to Him, when you ask Him to be forgiven. But that full measure of sanctification, that full measure of righteousness at salvation, that doesn't carry on forever. Because now you have to keep making the choice to live a holy life. Doesn't mean you never make a mistake. Doesn't mean you never stumble. Doesn't mean you never fall. But it does mean that when you stumble and you fall, you look up to Him, you admit your mistake, you ask that the blood of Messiah Yeshua washes you clean, and He helps you back up. That's living out a holy life. Living the best we can, and admitting our mistakes as we make them. And learning from them. Not just keep making the same ones over and over and over again. But learning from our mistakes. Letting Him help us up. Letting Him cleanse us by His blood. Letting Him clean us up and help us to move forward in Him. Redirecting us so that we're back on the path that walks directly to Him, as opposed to walking on our own away from Him. Because look, even if you're just a couple of degrees off, it's not to Him. If I'm only, 3, 4, 5% off in my degrees off on Him, over a period of time, that could be a long way. So we need to constantly be looking towards Him. Constantly accepting the blood of Messiah, constantly allowing Him to cleanse us, constantly allowing Him to correct our direction as we go. Because left on our own, we will drift. Left on our own, we will make wrong decisions. We will make mistakes, whether we know them or not. Left on our own, will be outside of His presence before you know it. So we constantly look, are we living holy lives? So that we'll know that we're living righteous lives, right relationship with Him. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Father, we thank You that by Your word, You have told us how to live holy lives. You have told us how to be righteous, and that righteousness is the right relationship with You. Ruach HaKodesh, we open our hearts up to You, and we ask You to help us to live those holy lives, to help us have that right relationship with Adonai, so that we will not stumble, so that we will not fall. And when we do, so that we don't stay down there. We thank you that you're the one who can cleanse. You're the one who can heal. You're the one who can bind up when our hearts are broken. We just ask you to have your full way in each of our lives. Father, I ask that for those who do not yet know Yeshua as their Messiah, who do not trust the blood of Messiah Yeshua to help them, to cleanse them, to pick them up from the muck and the mire, that you would unveil their eyes and open their ears to hear your calling on their life. That you would help them to know who Messiah Yeshua is, that he fulfilled all of the prophecies. And he will continue to fulfill prophecies that are spoken about in the fall feasts as well as in the book of Revelation. Same prophecies spoken about in different ways. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your love and your mercy. And we all say, amen and amen.